He's a member of the Williams Brothers. Melvin, come on out, help me out.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
We've been talking about developing what kind of faith? Strong faith. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, we see a definition of strong faith. And God does not want us to have weak faith, a puny faith, a little faith. In fact, I like to say it this way. There's no scriptures in the Bible that says you can have too much faith. Amen. God will never be disappointed because you have a lot of faith. In fact, if you have a lot of faith, then you please him. But Jesus was very disappointed in the Bible when he found little faith. He said, oh, ye of little faith. And so big faith, great faith, strong faith is better than weak faith. Amen. Strong faith receives much from God. Little faith receives little. Amen. I'd rather have a little than no faith. But if I'm going to have faith and have the measure of faith, then I want it to grow and increase. I mean, you know, your faith can grow. Your faith can be stronger today than it was yesterday. You can have more faith tomorrow than you got today. Amen. But by the same token, if you don't do the right thing, your faith can get weaker. Your faith can grow stronger or it can be weakened by circumstances and by your attitude toward the Word of God. So I'm just going to talk to you for a few moments here about strong faith, developing strong faith, and being a doer of the word. Everybody say a doer.
A doer.
A doer of the word. Now, before we get there, let's go to Romans chapter 4, and we see here that Abraham, who is our example in faith, and it's the example that God gave us to use, is someone who trusted God and who was known as a friend of God, and he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen? Now, in Romans chapter 4, 19, it says, and being not weak in faith, talking about Abraham, and being not weak in faith, and being not weak in faith. God does not want you to be weak in faith.
That's right. Come on up.
So the Bible says Abraham was not weak in faith because he considered not his own body now dead. Now, he's not talking about his body's died like going to the grave. When he's talking about, and he considered not his body dead, which means he's impotent because he's about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Well, what does that mean? That means that Sarah was barren, that she was not able to have children. So they had an impossible situation because God had promised Abraham that he was going to give him a son out of his own loins, that there was going to be a son that was going to come out of his body. To encourage Abraham, God told Abraham to see if he could count the stars. God spoke to him and said, so shall your seed be. Seed representing his descendants. He said, your descendants are going to be like the stars in the heavens in multitude and like the sands upon the seashore, which means innumerable. You won't be able to count his descendants. So God gave him a promise like that when he was childless. But what Abraham did, Abraham believed that God was able to do just what he said he could do.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So he had some evidence that was against him. The evidence of his body, the evidence of Sarah's womb. Him and Sarah, you know, they done made love many a time, but she can't get pregnant. She's barren, and everybody accept the fact that she's barren. So we see here, let's just read the scripture here. It says, and being not weak in faith, so you understand, he wasn't weak in faith, because he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That means he didn't waver. He didn't doubt. He didn't wonder. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Now, that got my attention right there. Abraham was strong in faith. He had a strong faith that honored God. You know, I searched the Old Testament for this recipe or this prescription. And when you read the Old Testament, all it says is, and go to Genesis, all it says about Abraham was, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. There ain't no formula for faith. There ain't nothing. All it says, Abraham believed God. In other words, Abraham trusted God. Abraham had confidence in God. Abraham counted God faithful. That's all saying the same thing.
Amen.
So I couldn't find a formula for faith. It's just one point. Believe God. Trust God. Believe what he says. Believe in his power. Whatever he tells you that he will do, he can do it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But then the Holy Ghost took me over to the New Testament. He said, go look at Romans chapter 4, and you're going to find the behind-the-scenes stuff. So it's almost like the Holy Ghost, you know how if you go to Let's Make a Deal, they got door number one, door number two, door number three, and you got to pick one, but you don't know what's behind either one of them. And so you have to wait until the curtain opens to see whether you got blessed or you got zonked. So what the Holy Ghost did, he say, let me pull the curtain back and let me show you how Abraham did it. Let me show you what strong faith is. So you let the Bible define itself. I don't have to come up with a definition for strong faith. I just find it right there in the Bible. And the Bible says, and Abraham grew strong. So that means that he grew his faith. His faith might have been small when it started out, but it got stronger. That means that his faith grew. And if his faith can grow, then your faith can grow too. In fact, your faith's supposed to be growing. How many know you ain't supposed to stay at the same level? Your faith's supposed to increase. God give you a measure of faith, but that measure is your responsibility to increase it, to make sure that you're able to trust God and believe God for more and more, for God to do more and more great things in your life that are going to bring glory to him. Abraham grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Everybody say, giving glory to God. Now, this is how his faith became strong, because he gave glory to God. Now, what is giving glory to God? Well, you go back to the Bible again. Giving glory to God is praising God. You know how you say, Lord, I give you glory. That's praise. Giving glory to God is also worshiping God, where you're acknowledging who he is. You praise God for what he's done, but you acknowledge him and worship him for who he is. So you worship God. Lord, you're the great I am. I bless you. You're my Lord and Savior. Jesus, you're the great high priest of the church. I thank you, Lord. You're the Savior of the world. That's who he is. I'm worshiping you because of who you are. You're my Savior. You're my healer. That's who you are. And then you can thank God for what he's done for you. Lord, you delivered me. Lord, you saved me. Lord, you healed me. Lord, you blessed me. Lord, you protect me. Lord, you provided for me. That's thanking him for that, those things. But then also giving glory to God also involves thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. See, if you don't become a thankful person and learn how to express gratitude for the things that God's doing in your life, you're going to become disgruntled and discontent with life, and you're going to be very unhappy and dissatisfied and depressed and oppressed. Thanksgiving, man, puts a shield around you. Giving glory to God also involves you thanking God for what he has said he's going to do in your life. That's thanking God for what hadn't been done yet. How many of you know God calls things that are not?
That's right.
As though they what? Were. You see, God called Abraham a father of many nations before he had any children. So God calls something that was not as though it already was. In other words, God goes to the end. And he calls things from the end at the beginning. I mean, you know, Jesus didn't die when he went to the cross. He was slain before the foundation of the world. He went through the process in a specific time in history, but that was already done from the foundation of the world. God had already looked. He knew the end from the beginning. And when you're walking by faith in God, you're able to see some things up front. You can call things that are not as though they are. Now, we know that Thanksgiving is a part of it because if you look at Luke chapter 17, where they had 10 lepers that came to Jesus for healing, and Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. How many of y'all remember that story? And what happened as they went? How many of them was healed? All of them was healed. How many of them returned to Jesus? One came back, right? And then didn't Jesus say, weren't there 10 healed? And only this one has come to give God glory? But if you read back further, you'll say that this man began to thank Jesus for what had happened. So giving glory is defined in that scripture as giving God thanks. It's worshiping God and thanking God. Now I've got a question for you. How many of y'all in here got strong faith? Some of y'all don't know. You're like, strong faith, if you can give glory to God, if you can praise God, if you can thank God, if you can worship God, if you can celebrate God, then you are halfway there. What's the other half? See, the Holy Spirit didn't pull the curtain back. He said, now let me show you how Abraham's faith worked. He gave glory, and he was fully persuaded. Everybody say, fully persuaded.
Fully persuaded.
Fully persuaded. That means, I like to say it in a lot of different ways, absolutely sure, totally convinced. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Sure enough. That's what the old timers would say. Sure enough. That means sure enough. Sure enough means absolutely. Totally convinced. So Abraham came to a place where he was totally convinced. When you get in a place of being totally convinced, fully persuaded, that means there's no more questioning, there's no more doubting, there's no more wondering whether or not God's going to do it. You have a confidence on the inside of you that it don't matter what nobody say to you, it don't matter how things look, you just know. I came to a place like that one night concerning someone who was in the hospital, and they told me they was in bad shape. We better come see them. So I went and prayed, and I interceded for this person. And I said, Lord, please don't let them die on if they're saved. Don't let them die. And then I talked about how the kind of person they were. And I said, Father, give them another chance. Have mercy on them. And the answer that came back to me was this. He's not going to die. His life is in your hands. And guess what? Now, I could have said, was that God? Is that really God? You know, what if that's just my mind? What if that's just I'm an emotional call up? You know what I did? I knew that was God. I say, thank you. Now, fully persuaded happened to me. You know when you're there, because it doesn't matter how anything looks, and it don't matter what nobody say. So when I came out of that place, and CeCe, remember this, when I came out of that place, I said, hey, he ain't gonna die. He gonna live. Amen. I said, the doctors have been removed from the equation. I said, we going up there, and I don't care what they say. I don't care what they say. I know what God done said, and I'm fully persuaded. I'm absolutely sure. I've been totally convinced by God that this person ain't going to die. And we went up there, and we led that person to the Lord, and guess what? They still living today. That was way back in the 80s. They're still alive today. Fully persuaded. Then the Lord showed me this. I said, well, Lord, how do I get fully persuaded? Because that's where most people don't have no trouble giving glory. Most of them can praise. They know how to worship. They know how to sing unto the Lord. They know how to give thanks. But that fully persuaded part deals with your circumstances, what your eyes see, what your ears hear, how your emotions feel, and all of that. And that's the part you got to overcome. What you see, what you hear, and what you feel. I said, well, Lord, how do I get fully persuaded? Because I know that's where people miss it, because they want to believe, but then the devil will say, yeah, but. He'll start giving you reasons why that can't happen. See, he'll tax your faith, because he don't want you in fully persuaded. So he does everything to work against fully persuaded so that you're moving in doubt. And if you doubt, you can't get anything. You can't move the mountain with doubt. If you waver in doubt, the Bible said, don't let that man think he's going to get anything from God. God just ain't gonna, God don't operate that way. God is a faith God. And you have to trust in him. When you trust in him, he give you the whole kingdom. Amen. The truth is that when you're not trusting God, you're trusting something else. If the devil tell you God ain't going to do this, and you believe that, then who you believed? Who you got faith in then? You got faith in what the devil said. You believe more what the devil said than what God said. Now, who you going to believe? But this is the good thing about it. The Lord, I say, Lord, how do I move to that place called fully persuaded? He said, as you are giving glory, fully persuaded just happened. As I'm giving glory to God and thanking God, something supernatural happened in my spirit that bring me to a place of fully persuaded. Then I found a scripture in it that said, as he gave glory to God, he became fully persuaded. So if I start off not fully persuaded, I know how to get there. I know how to get to fully persuaded. I need to start thanking God. I need to start worshiping him. I need to start praising him and then obeying him. Obedience is a part of your worship. Everybody say obedience is part of my worship. See, you can't have God's will if you don't obey. If you're not obedient, then you're rebellious. Right? If you're rebellious, you can't. Even rebellious children can't get the parents' blessing. Unless the parent just crazy. Good parents don't bless disobedient children. They bless them for as they can. For a disobedient child, there's always blessings that are held back. It just is. You bless them for as you can, but there's a limit to it. But you take an obedient child, you just give them everything. Because you say if they're obedient, you say that's a good child. Whatever that child need, I'm going to help them. That child obey. They do what I tell them to do. They listen to me. Now, they may not always agree with me, but at least they listen. They're respectful and everything, and they're going to obey. You know, one time, Treasure wanted to go to a concert or something. And she came out. She said, Daddy, can I go to this concert? I don't know if it was Baton Rouge, New Orleans, somewhere. It was in New Orleans. Now, I didn't feel good about her going. But I didn't say that, and I said, well, I said, did you ask God? Did you ask your father about going? She said, no, I'm asking you. She said, I'm asking you. She was frustrated. I'm asking you, can I go? I said, I'll tell you what. You ask your heavenly father if you can go. And if he tell you it's okay, it's all right with me. She didn't never come back to me. It was over. It was over. So for a few hours later, you know, about time she had to be leaving, I say, well, what's up? She just looked at me. You know how Treasure do, she say. She did one. She just looked at me, she say. She swung her head around. She just looked at me. I say, so your father gave you an answer. I said, you ain't gonna pin that one on me. You already know in your spirit what the answer is. Now that's obedience. Now she chose to obey. Well, she, you know, the devil said you're gonna miss something, you're gonna miss a good time and all that, but you don't know. You don't know what would have happened if she'd went. When it wasn't God's will for her to be there. And I say, she needs to learn how to heal for herself. I used to do that for her when she was a child. I made that decision. No, you ain't going. Can I go spend the night? No. You ain't going to spend the night with nobody. No. You bring them over here. You can have your party over here. Can you go to that slumber party at somebody else? No. Not one time. Hallelujah. So you got to have the obedience, too. Now, turn over to James chapter 2. So we know what strong faith is, and we know how to develop it. I need to start thanking God. I need to get his promise. I need to listen to him, see what he's saying to me, and what he is prophesying in my life, what he's showing me from the word. I'm going to begin to decree it, declare it, thank God for it, praise God for it. And I know Abraham, you know, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. So that means Abraham means father of many. He changed Sarah's name. So they were speaking the blessing the whole time. Every time she said Abraham, she said the father of many. She calling things that be not as though they were. So we can give glory to God and we can be fully persuaded about what? That what he promised, he is able to perform. And not only that, I'll go a step further without doing any injustice to the scripture. Not only is he able to perform it, he's willing to do it. Because he wouldn't have gave you the promise if he wasn't willing. He wouldn't have made a promise if he wasn't willing to do it. He just kept the promise back. You don't make promise to somebody if you ain't going to do it. If you make a promise, I'm going to take you here if you do this here. You made a promise. Well, evidently, you want them to go. If you made that the condition of the promise, then you already, the willingness is already built into the promise. So God wants you to have it. Amen. So everybody, we say we got strong faith around here. If somebody asks you tomorrow, how do I increase my faith? You ought to be able to tell them. And not just say, oh, child, just trust God. Oh, child, just trust God. Just believe in the Lord. And then a lot of people say, well, how do that? Then what you going to tell them? Well, how do that? Well, can you find something to be thankful for? Can you worship God? Can you praise him? Well, yeah. Well, now, can you get a promise? What do you need God to do? Find the promise in the Bible where God promised that this is his will for your life. And then dig into it and start meditating on it and thanking God for it. Yes, sir. Amen. And believe in God and say, Lord, I want to thank you. You find out what you already got. Thank you. As a believer, you already got some stuff in your account. So you find out what's in your account, and then you start thanking him for it. It might not have showed up yet. Might not have materialized yet, but you know it's there because it's in the account. Jesus paid for it already. Peace is already yours. Peace is the inheritance of the children. God will give strength to his people. He will bless his people with peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Well, if he's giving it, I'm lined up, I'm taking. I'm receiving. Thank you. Say, how do you receive peace? Thank you. How do you get joy? Thank you. How do you get strength? Thank you. That's all part of the inheritance. How you get healed? Thank you. How you get blessing when you need it? Lord, thank you. And all of these thank yous are backed up with promise on top of promise, on top of promise, on top of promise, on top of promise. That's why I'm saying thank you, because I done been in that word, and I done found out what's in the will. And I know that that's the will of God, so I say thank you. And old devil will come along right in the middle of your party. Well, where is that? You're thanking him for it, but where's that? I don't see it. Where you feel? And that's when you got to say, I ain't moved by what I see. I ain't moved by what I feel. And you messing up my praise. Get out the way. Thank you. Hey, hold my mute. I feel it coming on. Hold up, devil. Hold this mute right here. I'm finna rejoice. God finna make me a table right here in the presence of my enemies. I'm fixing to rejoice right in the midst of all you devils. Thank you. Can you say thank you? Well, you don't say thank you unless there's been an exchange of something. Thank you is the acknowledgement of something you have received. And I ain't got to feel it to know I got it. I ain't got to see it, because if God said it was